Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. Today is Friday, July the 24th, 2015. And their call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Michael's not with us just yet, so I'll talk for a few moments. We begin our 16-day Laws of Living tonight. And so we've got a couple of people still to come in. Jim's gone to the airport to pick Susan up. And so we're excited. It should be a good group. It's a small group. There's, I think, going to be 10 of us. So it is very small comparative to some of the past years. But we are looking forward to digging in and looking at the laws. And there is a big difference between what most people, if you talk about laws, most people think of the rules that are set up by man, like speeding rules and things like that. But those aren't laws. What we're talking about is the laws of the universe, the laws of living. There are things like, you know, the law of attraction, the law of resonance, the law of gravity, cause and effect, those things. And you can't break those laws. You can run into them, and if you don't know how they work, and you can... But if you know how they work, you can avoid that collision. So we're going to spend 16 days digging in and looking at those. And so it should be an exciting time. This radio show is about Aramaic forgiveness, which is not letting another person off the hook for something that's going on inside, but it's going inside and removing whatever doesn't belong. You know, we start out our workshops, and we ask people if they've ever held a newborn. You know, we had a couple questions yesterday at the end of the show about how do you present this work if someone doesn't want to hear about God or Jesus or the Spirit or things like that. You could ask anybody. It doesn't matter whether what they believe in. If they've ever held a newborn, whether it's a newborn baby, a newborn kitten, a newborn puppy, whatever, and tap into the essence of that newborn. And everybody will describe it as awesome and pure and sweet and miraculous. And that is who we are. That's who we're designed to be. Excuse me. And then we'll usually ask a second question, how many have ever done something that they regret doing? And those answers, and then we say, you know, what were you feeling that motivated you to do it? And those answers always come back as anger, fear, shame, guilt. None of the descriptors of the newborn. So we emphasize, you know, this is who you're created to be. These other things are things that maybe you've experienced, but they are not who you are. A lot of people identify with those, and they forget who they really are. So the forgiveness work is to go inside and remove everything that is unlike our original being and to get back to being that. And so that's a process because it's generational. We have a lot of stuff in our past, a lot of stuff in our bag that we carry with us. And so it's step by step going through and removing it until regardless of what happens in our world, we can stand in a perfect connected space. And so that's what this work is about. If you have any questions or comments about that, please press 1. Welcome, Dr. Tim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Awesome.
I have the, we can talk about the support group in a little bit, but the comment I would like to add to that, when people ask, you know, how do you talk about this without talking about God or without talking about love? I just, there are so many ways from the practical realm. One of the things I like to do is talk about what you just did about, have you done something you regret? And how, when we have that list, no one ever says, oh, I was feeling really loving. And then, from that practical standpoint, we say, okay, so what happens is, whenever I'm not feeling calm and centered and relaxed, I end up doing these things I regret. And I talk about how if you'll interview a trial attorney and ask them, when they're interviewing a witness for the opposing side in the middle of a trial, does that trial attorney want the witness for the opposing side to feel calm and safe and relaxed? And they'll instantly say, no. And I say, well, then what is it you want them to feel? I want them to feel off balance. I want them to feel scared. I want them to feel angry. Well, why do you want that? Because that's when they make mistakes. So we know this practically in the culture in a variety of different arenas. And Michael talks about how when my mind is in either hostility or fear, it lowers my intelligence quotient pretty much to zero. And so if I can take a deep breath and calm and center myself and feel like I'm no better or worse than anybody else and I don't have anything to fear and I'm in that calm space and then I take an action, I'll probably get much, much better results. And the other, you know, thing we talk about, I love Michael's description of driving down the mountains out near Heartland late at night, moonless, cloudy night, just pitch black, and all of a sudden the lights go out on my car. Well, I'm not likely to think, well, I've driven this road a lot before, and I know in about 60 yards it takes a little swerve to the right, so I'll just keep going. And I'm likely, if the lights go out on my car and it's pitch black, to stop the car. And if I am in any form of anger, frustration, sadness, fear, I will be a really good subject for attorney for the opposing side if I take the witness stand. So I want to stop the car, calm myself, breathe, restore myself to a calm, centered space, and then decide what to do. So we've basically talked about the fundamental process, and we haven't mentioned God or love or any of those foo-foo words. It's a practical thing. As Michael says, this isn't about religion. This is about practically, as you were saying in the introduction, how do I work with the way the world works so it comes out more to my benefit? So that would be my offering.
I totally agree. And it's always the same, you know, whenever we do something that we wish we hadn't done, we're never in that wonderful, awesome, loving, miraculous space. We're always on the other side of the board. And so, yeah, it's what, you know, do you want to behave in your sanest mind? And I think everybody would answer yes. So, and I think Michael has joined us. Are you there? He does have a phone. We've had his phone has been misplaced, and we haven't found it yet. And so he's transferred his number to another line, and so he's having a little bit of challenge with how this new phone operates. We're borrowing it till we can locate his other phone.
Well, I had intended to call yesterday or text you after the call yesterday and let you know that whatever was going on with your phone during the show yesterday was quite disruptive. You were hearing beeps we weren't hearing, but we were hearing it cut out, and it got worse as the show went on. So if there's a way to block texts or turn that part off during the show, that would probably be beneficial. I don't know if you were getting texts or phone calls or what, but.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. I had to figure out where the mute button was on this thing. Anyway, thank you for getting started with the show. I've been out running around taking care of getting the property ready for people to arrive tonight, just getting the classroom set up. And so all things are go. Laws of Living will start, and we'll have dinner tonight, and we're on rock and roll. And certainly the opposing attorney wants to get us in as much rage and fear as possible if he wants a witness that will work for him. So it is in all the world. If we want to really work for the other party, if we really want to work for our own detriment, just open your mouth in hostility of fear. And you'll just get yourself right into the place where you'll get the next opportunity to learn forgiveness. It's such an awesome process. That's so cool.
Well, the other thing was we had our support group again last night. And we had six people. We doubled our attendance from the past few weeks.
All right.
And we actually had somebody who was just at Heartland show up here.
Oh, she made it back last night? Oh, cool.
And she
hello,
came,
Erica.
And she came directly to the group rather than going home. She had a powerful worksheet. She's, as we were talking about yesterday, just a diligent worker and very earnest and just wants her life to be better. And she's using the tools to make it happen. So that's delightful to watch. And so we had a wonderful group. We had two people who've never been to the Thursday group before and a total of six. And so that's going and growing nicely. And I'm just
awesome.
Blessed. I'm just blessed to be with this group of loving people.
I hear you. I join you in it. It's definitely an awesome thing to get to keep looking in the mirror of all those faces and then having people who really spray and project the energy of love that supports the healing process just accelerates things so much. And if anybody's out there that is starting with this work and you don't have a support group in your area, then we would support you in starting one. And Jeannie has put a ton of information on our website. If you go to www.whyagain.org, you'll see a place for support groups. And there's just people's experience, how to get started, pitfalls, you know, just all that you could ask. And then, if there's anything that isn't there that you'd like to ask, that's why we have a radio show. Dr. Tim is probably the primo expert on support groups, having done more than anybody that I know of. And Jeannie's right up there, having done the same. And we're here to create support in people having those around them that really, truly are committed to living as the active presence of love and moving forward in the world in that way.
We have a hand up.
Well, let's say hello.
Except I just hit the wrong button. Hold on a second. I'll have to get the switchboard back up. This is crazy.
I've never done that before. Okay. So that's pretty sweet, Dr. Tim. So you're now at about 20 people a week between the two support groups. That's really awesome. And the fallout from that, how many people?
I was going to say, it varies week to week. A couple weeks ago, we had 17 plus me at the Tuesday group, and we've been averaging 3 to 4 on the Thursday group. So it's...
Fabulous.
Yeah. But the thing I keep trying to convey to people is, there really aren't words for how wonderful it is. And the benefit that I get from being surrounded by these, you know, in people of integrity, people who are loving, people who want to make their life better, people who are willing to do something to make their life better rather than just sit at home and watch TV or go to the movies or go to the bar, and I just feel blessed beyond words that I get to spend time with people of that caliber on a regular basis.
I understand, and I feel the same way, that with the way we get to travel and the number of people we get to interact with, it's such a blessing in my life to teach this. And anybody that feels like this is your work, we'll support you. If you want to pick it up, we have a whole curriculum developed, and we'd love for any and everybody on the planet. You know, my commitment is every mind, heart, and being on the planet, and I'm probably not going to get to speak to 7.5 billion people. But you might get to speak to a few hundred thousand or a few million of them, or a billion or two, and that would be awesome if you wanted to pick up the tools. We'll support you in taking it out there, making it available. Every mind, heart, and being on the planet is what we're committed to. So let's see how Jeannie's
awesome.
Making out.
Yeah, I got her back on, and I think it's Julie. It's 541. You're on the air.
Hi there,
yeah. Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Oh, man, exciting day. Your class is beginning.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. All things moving forward.
But I know,
how can we support you today?
From here. I'm really focused on laws of living. I want to kind of parallel this class with you as much as I can. So I'm just staying focused and watching DVDs and doing written work. And noticing my reflection, and I'm wondering if you could talk about what law this might be, or what laws this might be. And I know there's the overseeing first law, but I've and it's easier for me to talk about this in the what happened, and then maybe I'll switch into my awareness better. I have a roommate who just moved out. And a new one's moved in, and everything's good in that respect, although I was going through some apprehension about, oh, my gosh, what are the unfinished energies in me that are going to show up in this new roommate, you know? And I'm telling you, living with roommates rather than just being married or something, it's like, boy, I get a whole new set with every new person.
Right.
I'm okay. I finally relaxed and realized that Rukita Kucha is with me, and no lesson is too great for me as long as I use the tools, and it just keeps me really more poised in the tools instead of avoiding them. So that's good. And based on the fact I want to be a teacher, that's good. So, but okay, I remember, and it must still be in me, I remember making declarations, basically, that the universe owed me, that something bad had happened in my life, and so the next thing that would go on in my life would remedy that, would, you know, bit more, and good was on its way to me. And so that was how I was trying to ignorantly control the universe, you know, like deliver to me what is mine. And make up for all the
and
loss.
And may I interject?
Yep.
That you're right, the universe does owe you. It owes you another opportunity to learn forgiveness, how to remove that part of your mind that created that thing that perhaps you're blaming the universe for. The universe didn't do it to you. The universe blessed you with it. And
okay.
If you didn't take the opportunity to clean up the part of your mind that drew that circumstance to you, then the universe owes you another opportunity to learn forgiveness, and it will come. That's the awesome way that the whole energy system is set up. It's not that there's anybody out there making decisions for us. We make our own decisions. Nobody's out there making choices for us. We make our own choices. And how we respond to a situation. I had somebody the other day who was talking to me about a situation where, you know, they expected a meal to be ready and they lived in the complaint of why wasn't it ready, rather than living in the opportunity to go, oh, I get to make lunch, I get to make dinner. Wow, how cool is that? What kind of response does our mind give to us? Is it from a space of connectedness and love, or is it from a place of complaint and blame? And complaint and blame means I just get another opportunity. I'll just keep being blessed till I go, I've been through this one. 87 different times with 42 different people. Maybe it's my turn to wake up and say, I think I'll respond differently by removing this old generational response that doesn't serve me.
So the law of victim doesn't work.
There's no law of victim. There's no law of victim.
I know. I'm just saying, people who want to make it that way, though, you know, and like entitlement and all these things that everybody owes us is a position that we're perceiving from a victim place. And I don't think people really get that it gets delivered to them the way they think it should be. Instead, it comes up
to go back to Yeshua,
an opportunity to learn forgiveness, right? Okay.
Yeah, you go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, and people had already degraded the word prayer. When he spoke to them about prayer, they still didn't get it 2,000 years ago, and people still haven't gotten it today. And so people are sitting around blabbering words, telling the Creator what the Creator should be doing for them today, putting their order into the cosmic gift catalog. And that's not prayer at all. That's petition. And when we abdicate creatorship, when we abdicate our role in the process, then we hide the part of our minds that we don't want to deal with, and we get to create out of that. If you look at the word prayer, what you find in the ancient Aramaic, rather than, and you listen to Yeshua, and Yeshua says, hey, you don't need to ask for anything. The Creator's already delivered it to you. It's in your, you know, the room next door. It's in your front room. It's in your kitchen. It's in your backyard. It's in your front yard. It's out there in your car. The Creator's already delivered everything to you that you need. And if what you need to do is some forgiveness work and some healing, then the non-being mind is going to look at it and go, well, this isn't what I've been ordering up. I don't want this here. God, do this for me. It's like, that's not how the game works. The game is set up through resonance. If we know how to pray, that is, and the word prayer means to set the trap for God. It means to live as the space of love. Our physiology, in essence, is an antenna designed to capture and move love through our physiology into the world. And if we have our antenna set for something else, then we do something else, and we wonder why the universe isn't cooperating. And the fact is, the universe is always cooperating. I love, it was one gentleman who was listening to the show a couple of weeks ago, and we kind of touched on this conversation. And he sent me, I forget whether it was a text or a Facebook post, and Ram Dass, if you're familiar with him, was a teacher who traveled all around the country and all around the globe. And back, I'm not even sure how long ago, several years ago, Ram Dass had a stroke. And Ram Dass is back to teaching again. But Ram Dass said that his stroke was fierce grace, that he realized that it was grace given to him, this opportunity to take another look at his life. And so if we can start to think in terms of when the universe isn't delivering it sweetly and gently and easily the way that we would like it to, the way that we don't deliver it to others, but we would like them to deliver it to us, Ram Dass, when it gets really tough, calls it fierce grace. You always have grace available to you. Now, the churches have kept grace a mystery, like it's some kind of mystical thing that you or I or somebody holy gets knighted with. You are the only creature on the planet, we humans, that can live in grace. And grace is the ability to change my mind anytime I want. So I can sue in the juices of my generations and my fear and my hostility and violate the law of love. And the law of love, the first law, was the only way this human organism works. Remember that law is not the rule of a superior. Law is simply a statement of how things work. So when they said to Yeshua, how does human life work best? What he said was, you keep Brachma, you keep a filter open in the front of your frontal lobes of the brain that does two things. It allows only intensest key to love to be used as the raw material of your goals, which will drive your behavior and end up being your life. And it is the gateway through which human life answers your human form. Now, that law isn't a rule that you can break or not break. It's simply, here's how human life works. If you don't choose to keep Brahma active in your mind, you haven't broken the law. You're just not operating as a human. When love is gone, human life is gone. So the law of love is that it's like it's a statement of here's how it works. You know, gravity works like this. Airplanes don't fly because somebody broke the law of gravity. You can't break any of the laws of the universe. It's not possible. If I understand and harmonize with the law of gravity, I can fly an airplane. And so it is, if I want to live as a human being with love in my mind 24/7, 365, of course, all I need to do is handle all the hostility and fear from my generations. And each time it comes up, forgive, 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 forgive. Sometimes 10 times a minute. To get back to Rahma and do it again and do it again and do it again. If I look back at my generations and I just kind of do an eyeball of what I know of my generations, how well did my generations do in living in Rahma, living as the active presence of love? That propensity was born and bred in me. If I want to live the law of love, I might have to forgive 10 times a minute. Can restore that love, can restore it, can restore it, can restore it, until it becomes first nature. It's not about asking the Creator for something. It's about living in the active presence of love.
So
a needle-bearing thread, ray, no, excuse me. Just to fire some brain cells for me. Being the musician that you are. I love your piano playing, by the way. It's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you just really encouraged me, you know, because you always encourage me. But the idea of taking what we learn from you and teaching it in the way that is unique to us, you know, I still say I'm going to do something with music in this, and it's coming together. I can feel it. I think you helped me cut through a really big one just now with the idea that fear basically is ruling the world. It's attempting to be a law. Those who want to have control are, you know, really imposing their agendas on us and fearing us with them before they even actualize them, so that we're more welcoming of them, of the fearful things and the agenda that they want to put in place in order to control us. So if we come from victim, we, you know, buy into fear. And it's kind of, I don't know which comes first, the chicken or the egg. All I know is the way out of it is to remove, to do the work and have the fear removed. And that could take 10 times a minute, you know, for some of these scary things that are going on today. And so what I want
for a second. Notice the subtle denial there. Notice the subtle denial. Did you catch your denial?
Well, I was pointing it to us and we and other people more than myself.
But just, you know, really, really watch your words. It's really powerful to watch your words.
Okay.
What were your words of denial?
Victim rule, when they want to control us.
Okay. The scary things going on.
Yeah. Okay.
There are no scary things going on. There is fear in me, and things may resonate my fear, but if I want to follow the law of love, and I say there are scary things going on, then I put the power of scary things outside of me, while the fear is inside of me, and fear takes me out of the ability to hold to the connectedness to love. You know, just really watch your words continuously. This is one of the other powers of a support group, is that when you're having trouble watching your words, there'll be others around that will support you, just like I'm supporting you right now. And so remember our definition of denial, the key definition we're using. Yes, there's the pretense something isn't happening, but is. That's one form of denial. But the really important denial is when I think or speak as though something out there is causing something to happen in here. So I have fear in here, and I say the scary things out there. I'm now in denial. The impact of that denial is that I instruct my mind to show me that the cause of my fear is outside of me, and in so doing, I dissociate from my fear. Once I'm dissociated from my fear, I have no power to change it because it's now not mine. It's out there. And that's the power of the forgiveness process. What the forgiveness process does, it collapses the reality based in the denial language and allows you to go back directly to the root of that fear. And when you bring love present to the root of your fear, then you dissolve another piece of your fear-based mind.
Mm. Thank you.
And that is the real conversion. You know, the world has a cheap copy for everything that's real in the spiritual dimension. The cheap copy of conversion is, I've got to get you into my church in order for me to be, you know, thought of as a good person. You have to join my church, and you have to affirm the way I think in order for things to work well. And, of course, what do we have to? Something like 32,000 sects in just the Christian religion. 32,000. Gee, which doctrine do you want me to believe you believe you know better than, like, which one will have you approve of me? If I don't say the words just right, are you going to tell me that I'm now going to hell? You know, that whole game that's played out of an hostility and fear-based mind. And so, personally, everybody's saying, come join my religion, come join my religion. We have no interest whatsoever in anybody joining any religion. We do have an interest in giving the tools that Yeshua gave so that people can have an experience of conversion. And the conversion is from a fear-based mind back to a love-based mind. We all started out with a love-based mind. The world started to put thumbprints on us. Those thumbprints resonated our genetics into activity, and we became lost in the words of hostility and fear. We want to convert 7.5 billion people back to love-based minds. Nothing to do with my or anybody else's religion. It's just, here's how your life will work. First law, you keep love in your mind. And, you know, if people had a clue, had the brain cells for what Yeshua was talking about. I remember listening back. My mind goes back to this every time I come to this conversation. I was listening to a radio interview with somebody, and there was an atheist on there, and this atheist is saying, you know, just how stupid could somebody be? How ridiculous is the intelligence of someone who actually listened to the teachings of a man that said, love your neighbor? What idiots! And that provincial, ignorant mind that would say such a thing has no clue whatsoever what the word rachma means and what Yeshua was instructing them to do, and that it has nothing to do with neighbor. It's got to do with maintaining your own human life. It is such a genius, practical, where we live piece of understanding and information that nobody needs to make a religion out of. It's just, here's how life works, folks. Here's the law. Human life works when there's love. When there's not, there's no human life.
Okay.
Go for it.
Go ahead. I just wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, I'm complete. Okay. Go for it.
Okay, I'm sorry. When the guy says that that's so stupid to love your neighbor as yourself, the words that were translated from what Yeshua taught, if those were the words, those words are actually directing one to love something outside of themselves, you know, the neighbor, and then as yourself, without any knowledge of what yourself is. So So I can see how the whole world has gotten into this conditioned pattern of viewing everything outside of itself. So we have an allegiance to it almost. And how
one of the most disastrous things that's happening on planet Earth is most people are, in the Greek sense, loving their neighbors as themselves. And most people have so much self-rejection and self-hatred that they are doing exactly that with their neighbors, especially if their neighbor doesn't happen to agree with their theology or the way they use their genitals or a thousand things. And when we recognize that's a Greek fraud, you can't love your neighbor, you can't love yourself, because love is not a verb, it's what you are. You experience yourself as love when you collapse everything that blocks the awareness of love. And when we return to that state, then we realize that the instruction from Yeshua is not love your neighbor, love the Creator. It is be your essence love in the presence of any thoughts you have of the Creator, in the presence of any thoughts you have of neighbor. In Aramaic, neighbor means anybody that you think about. And then it doesn't say as yourself. In Aramaic, it says in order to maintain self. It's an awesome piece of information. Do you want to maintain a human life? Do you want to live as this sweet presence of love? Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. This is how it works. And there's no violating it. If people throw away their human lives, they've thrown away their human lives. That's all. They're just not living as human beings.
Yeah, there's one of your DVDs that just really gets to me, is that the universe is designed that it'll just spew you out if you're not going to live by the laws. Then you have already determined that you're not going to live by the laws, then you are spewed out or removed. That's,
After death occurs, which is usually by about the age of four, that human life, love, is gone, and it's replaced with just a series of words that don't hold the active presence of love. It takes the average person 70 to 80 years for their bodies to fall over. Get restored to love, and the so-called body is designed to live eternally. Different game altogether.
If you think of cells in the body that divide and divide and divide, and the word divide, divide and conquer, keeping things separate so they're easy to conquer, is the way it's set up in the world. And if we see ourselves as just cells and a body, then we're living in that world of replicating once removed from source. But if we see truly that we are source or connected with source, then we take more responsibility to be in the directing of our cellular structure with the law of Rachma in place.
Yes. That becomes the fuel for the cell.
Yeah.
That's the sum and substance law. There was a rabbi, it was back in the first century, and he spoke those words of, love the Creator, love neighbor. In Aramaic, it's be the presence of love in the presence of neighbor and Creator. And he says that is the sum and substance of the law. All the rest is commentary. All the rest is commentary.
When it's a singularity of mind, then you're just in that loving mind. And so any of the devices in the world that, tempt, like Christ, tempted Christ to be persuaded to leave that presence and buy into a fear and be a victim, when you're really actively in the presence, you just walk differently in the world. And it falls away. It can't touch you.
Yes.
So then we, So an ego, like I'm a little bit speaking from right now, that wants to be safe, could learn to become obedient to the law of Rachma, you know, and yet it will never
No obedience
really
required.
It won't reach it.
No obedience.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. When
okay.
we start to put the word obedience into the equation with the law, we're now back to kings. Kings mm-hmm. want you to believe that law is the rule of a superior, and you're being obedient to the superior. There's something the superior wants from you.
Mm-hmm.
Refrain from ever putting the creator in that position. The creator
mm-hmm.
set the universe up to work a certain way. The creator has never been disappointed with you, has never been angry with you, has never judged you, has never been upset with you. Love isn't capable of those things. They're stories that men made up based on what they were doing in their minds. Oh, God is really angry with you. Excuse me, love isn't angry. God will take vengeance and wrath on you. There is no vengeance and wrath in God. That's all a teaching of a man. Very clearly a teaching of man.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no obedience required. Just like, you know, I can go into the front room of my house and I can leave the room totally and completely dark, and I can walk through the room, cancel the thought, stub my toe, hit my knee, bang my head, fall over the table, and, you know, again, cancel all of that. Or I can turn on the light and walk through the room with light and see where I'm going. There's no law involved in that as far as obedience goes. I either walk through the room in darkness or I walk through the room in light. If I turn the light on, walking through the room is going to be a whole lot easier. But there's no creator that says, if you walk through the room with the lights out, man, I'm going to trip you, I'm going to get you, I'm going to have so much vengeance on you, I'm going to take out my wrath on you. That's all men's BS belief systems, in case you have a different reality for those initials. I walk through the room in light, and I see where I'm going, and I take care of myself. Or I walk through the room in darkness, and I get tripped up. No violation, it's just, how do I choose to live? If I live with Rachma, I walk through my life with the lights on. If I don't live with that active in me, I walk through my life with darkness. And then what I do is I bump into the law. The law sustains no fracture. Law has never been harmed, violated, broken, or fractured in the least. But when we bump into it, you know, people bump into the law of gravity. Gee, there's a cliff. I step too close to the edge. Cancel the thought. It's 2,000 feet down. I get broken when I hit the ground. Law has sustained no fracture. And there's no great god of gravity that says, well, you know, I think we should punish you really severely this time for breaking the law of gravity. I didn't break the law of gravity. I stepped off the cliff, and gravity took over, and I dropped to the bottom. 2,000 feet down, again, cancel the thought, bones break. That's just the way it works. Law is the way it works. You've got to get rid of this mindset. This is a forgiveness process to get rid of this mindset that men have impinged on us that has come from kings who want your obedience, who want you to, you know, go kill when you're told to kill, steal property from other people when you're told to steal, do whatever you're told, and be obedient to that king's laws. So they put the creator in that position. The creator holds no such posture. The creator is love. That's all. The creator is the light. That's all. If you let the light shine through you, you will walk through the world guided. If you keep the lights out, then you'll bump into things. No punisher, no creator that wants obedience whatsoever. The creator just set it up. Here's how it works. Men made up all that other garbage, and it's garbage.
Wow, this is a totally huge distinction because... I can think that I'm on a spiritual path and doing all the right things when I'm seeing my mistakes and being totally focused on fixing them and correcting myself, and you know, but then it's still in the wrong light.
Well, and, you know, it really still isn't a matter of fixing anything. It's a matter of, you know, do I go back to the light switch and turn the light on before I walk through the room? It's just a matter of, do I do it in harmony with the way the energy system works, or do I do it out of harmony? Doing it out of harmony doesn't make you bad or wrong or any of those things. It just makes life tough.
And I have a choice.
You know, Yeshua says, you've heard it said that you should hate those who are your enemy. And then you go back and you look at all the passages that men made up and called scripture that says God told this priest to tell the soldiers to go and kill every man, woman, and child. That's all man-made BS. That's got nothing to do with the Creator. Or, you know, Yeshua's all wrong because he says, you've heard it said, love those who hate you, or pardon me, you've heard it said, you know, attack those who hate you. I give you a new understanding, and that is that you stand as the presence of love with those who hate you and those who despitefully use you. I'm telling you to walk through the room with the lights on. And, you know, people have to, who want to call every word in that book scripture, have to get out a pair of scissors. Mm-hmm. And they either have to cut the passage out where Yeshua says, I'm telling you to function as love. You got to cut that out if you can't believe that. Or you got to go back and cut all those permissions out and all that punishment that the Creator supposedly did and told people to go kill others. That's all kings making up stories to justify what they're doing and trying to put that in God's mouth. It's a fraud.
Hmm.
Okay. So cool. We hold the space that you know, we can carry this conversation on through the next couple of weeks as we're doing the Laws of Living, tap into the energy, and that will be awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you have a blessed and awesome day, and
you
we'll
too.
Be in touch.
All right.
Okay, lots of love.
You too. Bye.
Ginny, you've got another hand up?
We do have a hand up, but first I have Angela sent a text, and she said that she would like to ask this question. So hold on, let me flip over to my text and read it to you. And it goes right along these lines. She says, I had a student, you know, she was a teacher. She says, I had a student 6 years ago whose light brightened my class, so much so, and she kept in touch and even played word games with me and chatted until about a year ago. I found out yesterday that she was arrested on Wednesday during an armed conflict with the police. There's a lot of hate being sprayed in her direction from the small community. I've sent her a loving message, and I feel guided to go visit her at the jail. Where should I start, aside from just being the presence of grace and love?
Sounds like you've got it all handled, Angela. And I certainly hold the space that whatever that is, whatever that's all about for her, that she has someone who's able to really focus that energy of love toward her. And if there's something that is in need of healing, if she's somehow involved in what has happened other than as a bystander, that you can open the space for her to heal and to deal with whatever is coming her way as a result of the circumstance. And we certainly uphold her in joining the space. In fact, if you can just text Jeannie, even just her first name, then we'll just use her name to just sort of tap in and surround her in light and surround her in love so that whatever's going on, healing happens. That's what we're here for.
She just sent, her name is Tammy. And I would also offer, you know, when you go visit her, just letting her know that, you know, you're there to hear her and be with her and, you know, just point blank ask her, hey, what happened, you know, and be an ear. I think everybody, you know, that does, you know, even crazy heinous crimes. It's a cry for help or a cry for love, whether they're, you know, trying to, you know, get attention or whatever. They're crying out for something, and they're going about it the wrong way, but, you know, they're probably doing the only thing that they know to do. And, you know, you're probably not allowed to take pencils and paper and things like that in when you go visit her. I know when we worked in the prisons, we weren't allowed to give out pencils. But you can take one of the, kind of memorize the worksheet, if you don't already have it down pat, and you can kind of walk her, you know, to say, okay, what do we need to get rid of here? You know, this is who you are. You're, you know, and start with those questions, you know, have you ever held a newborn, either a baby or a cat or a dog or whatever, and describe it, and then look her straight in the eye and say, you just described who you are. You know, yeah, you got into some trouble here and you've done some things that are off target, but that's who you really are. And so what we need to do is, you know, I'm here to support you in working through removing everything less than that that's in your system. And those are the things that motivated your behavior to do what got you here in the jail. And, you know, knowing that there's just somebody there to help her and support her to work through that, I think is one of the biggest things that you can do.
Great input. And they may allow you to bring a worksheet with you.
Right.
And
we do have two hands up, too.
Maybe a copy of the commitment. If you go to the website, print off maybe a copy of the commitment, a copy of I Am Love, and maybe they'd be things to give her. And or they may allow you to mail those things to her with a letter, and she'll have both tools in hand. So we hold the space, and who knows? Who knows? Maybe this will be
great ideas.
Right, and maybe this will be your entryway into the prison to help open the space.
Yeah, that's something too, you know, that while she's there even, you know, that if she learns the tools that she can help, you know, other prisoners around her too. So it's a good start in that direction.
We never know.
Yeah, really. Our first number is an 815. Would this by chance be our little lady that just left us?
It is. Can you hear me?
How are you doing, Erica?
Hey there. Welcome, Erica.
How are you?
Awesome.
I have so many things I wanted to say listening to the conversation. But I was trying to share the worksheet I did yesterday. I left Heartland, and then I stayed in Vandalia, Illinois. And before I began driving more north, I stopped at a museum. And at the museum, a woman started handing me objects that said, do not touch. So I held some tool that Abraham Lincoln owned. I held shoes that belonged to women from the late 1800s. And then she handed me a bronze slave collar. And I held the collar, and I didn't hear everything she was saying because I just went into this long history in my mind on, you know, what that person's life was like and imagining a slave trade and just getting wrapped up in all of that. And I could not breathe. I had to force myself to breathe because I just couldn't figure out how to do it. You know, I give the collar back, I leave the museum, and I'm like, I need to go do a worksheet on this. I need to go to Dr. Tim's support group. And then the rest of the ride home, I was on like cloud nine. So much so that it was so easy for me to just go home and to unpack and do laundry and go to sleep. But the little voice in the back of my mind was like, do that worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the support group, and it is so valuable to go to the support group because everybody there just holds the space, and people are able to see what I can't see when I'm in such a... The emotion I chose to do that one on was terror. And I felt so terrified that I could not see the goal. And I didn't even recognize that when I wrote the story out, I wrote it in passive voice instead of active voice. So I wrote something along the lines of, the slave collar was given to me. So I wasn't the one creating that. And I'm like, I teach my students this as an English teacher, to use the active voice. And I was so blinded by my use of the passive voice there. And I could not, for the life of me, find my goal. And then through the conversation with Dr. Tim, I was able to actually identify the goal, which I don't think I would have ever seen by myself. And the goal that I came up with, or that we came up with, was that I wanted to feel safe and loved in this world. I was so distracted. I was so distracted by thinking about who's racist and how am I racist, and engaged in that conversation, that I couldn't see my need to want to feel safe and loved. So it was a great, great worksheet. And then I went home and I did more of them and eventually went to sleep. So I'm just calling to advocate, actually do the work, to ask for help, and to be open.
Well, Jeannie, would you share with Erica what I said to you when we got home the first night or the second night of the 10-day, when that conversation came up? Do you remember that conversation you and I had when we got back across to our house?
Oh, right off, I'm not.
Okay, well, the first night, I don't know if you remember this, Erica, but the first night, or it was the second night of the 10-day, the conversation came up about slavery. And it was focused in a direction other than yours, but what I saw in your face was terror. And when we came back across the street, you remember that now, Jeannie?
Oh, yeah, Dave.
I don't even remember the conversation.
I do, and I said it to Jeannie, and, you know, and we were in a different process, so I didn't go back to that, and you didn't say anything, but it was like, wow, I wonder what's happening for Erica in that regard. What's getting ready to surface for her around slavery, because your face just looked like total terror as that conversation opened.
Well, there...
So it sounds like you just gave you the gift.
I know. It's all coming up now.
Mm.
I can hear the resistance in my voice as I say that.
Yeah. And we're here to hold the space of safety and support, that you can open it all and be finished with it right here, now, in this instant.
Awesome. Thank you.
Delighted. Glad to be on the team. We were just delighted to have you here for the 10 days. It was awesome. And we'll look forward to the next time we get to play. It was really sweet to have you here.
Alrighty. Thank you so much, everyone.
Okay, love and blessings, and we're down to the last minute or so, so I'll just say that we're delighted and honored that you've chosen, and we'll be starting this evening with Laws of Living. If you're not too far away, if you want to make the journey, we've got a small group going. It's going to be a very intense intensive, and so come and play. Be part of the intensive. It'll start this evening, and then Juan will actually start to get into things. Tonight will be kind of an introduction, and then tomorrow around 1:30 or so in the afternoon, we'll start to jump in and look at evaluations and move things forward. So we're honored and delighted that you've chosen to join us today, and every day that you do, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. And one of the greatest gifts that you can give the world is to create the best year yet of your eternal life, and we're here to support you doing that. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.yagain.com. That's www.yagain.com. whyagain.com.
Continuously, 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 continuously.